That's our mission. Our mission is to focus on the things Hashem gave us and try and find happiness through the things He gave us. So the first thing He gave us is 86,400 seconds a day. Hashem gave us 86,400 seconds a day. Hard to think about. 86,400 seconds a day. How many millions of seconds over a month? It's amazing. We're millionaires. If you count the seconds. Every one of us is millionaires. We have to count. We have to think. We're millionaires. Each one of us are billionaires. So, invest your seconds wisely. Use them for appreciation, for gratitude, for joy, for accomplishing, for growing, developing your character. This will enable you to live a good life yourself, and you will enhance the life of others. If you go around happy, you're going to enhance the life of other people around you. People say, hey, I feel uplifted. I was around so-and-so today. I went to see so-and-so today, and he made me happy, and I'm happy now, because the happiness rubs off on people. Just like happiness rubs off on people, sadness rubs off on people. So it's very important to... On the other hand, a person shouldn't be too happy. There's interesting stories in the Talmud of rabbis who were rejoicing in parties and festivals, and they were so happy, and then Rabbi Akiva came and he broke an expensive vase. He said, what? Akiva, you're crazy? What do you do? What do you do that for? He said, I want to bring you back to reality. You're losing sight of reality. The reality of the situation is, you got to be happy, but not that happy. That's what he's so happy about. So we have to stay focused on the ground, but we have to be in a happy state of mind, not to go crazy.
Why shouldn't we be too happy?
And the answer is, now then we will fill our mouths with joy when the temple is rebuilt. And that's what we do. At a wedding, we smash the... Exactly, that's really what it's based on. I think that's the source. Rabbi Akiva smashed the vase. So we smash something at a wedding to remember the destruction of the temple. Only when the temple is rebuilt, then our mouths will be full of joy. Right now, our mouths are not full of joy. So it's important to remember that. So don't be too happy.
At a wedding, most of the time, when the glass is broken,
right.
You say mazel tov.
Right. Instead of thinking about al naharot bavel.
We do. That's what we do. That's what we say. Im yishkachech
yushalai, tishkach
yimini.
Right,
you
should, but...
But even that became a song today.
Right, and I saw one wedding where they did that. They said it was the minhag of Avad Yosef to sing that song and to think about that.
Which one? Im yishkachech yushalai?
Yeah.
But that's a pasuk. Everyone says that pasuk.
But most weddings, as she said, they say mazal tov and start singing in Jewish.
Yes, yes, right. You're right. Straight after that, everyone sings mazal tov.
Right.
But you're right. But in Israel, if you go to Israel, if you go to Yerushalayim, the Ashkenazi custom is to limit the band to two pieces. It's
right,
amazing.
That was the wedding that I saw that was like that. It took place in Yerushalayim, and they said it was Avad Yosef.
The Sephardim are much more lenient, but the Ashkenazi would limit it to two pieces. It's very sad. Plus, the minhag in Israel is to put soot ashes on the head of the hatan, where its filling goes. It's an Ashkenazi custom.
Ashkenazi?
Yeah. It's funny we don't do it. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah,
they do in Israel. In Israel. A little bit.
That's what the Indians.
I don't know about Indians. Don't ask me about Indians. Okay, let's not go into that.
Red dots.
Okay, that's something else. Okay.
Oh, yeah, red dots.
So invest your seconds wisely, even if your past seconds were not spent the way you would have wished. And this is very important, not to be caught up in regret. And some, a lot of people are caught up in regret. I regret not doing this. 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 How are they going to live their life? So the regret is past. Move on. The guilt trip is to think about the guilt and move forward on the guilt, based on the guilt, to push oneself forward and grow. Not to just harbor the feelings and just keep on rehashing and rehashing. There's a day for rehashing. That's Yom Kippur. That's a day for guilt. That's a day for thinking about the past and the past and the past. And we do that every night as well before we go to sleep. A person thinks about what they did during the day. But there's a time for that, but not to live in the past. Because then what about your present? What about your future? So we got to build on the past. That's the thing. A person says, you know what? My past was bad, but I'm going to build on it. I'm going to improve my past. And that's why Hashem wants us. Hashem wants to see the improvement. And just like a kid goes to school, he does it badly and then improves. We want to see the improvement. So even your past seconds were not spent the way you would have wished. You can make positive choices this very second. Don't allow the past to cause you a loss of your present and future seconds. That's the thing. Don't let the past cause you to lose your present. The person focusing on the past. But what about now? So you're wasting all those seconds now thinking about the past. And what about the future? You're going to cause loss of the future as well. So it multiplies. Interesting. A person thinking about their past can lose the present and lose their future because they're always harboring about the past. Now, we're also very lucky. Why? Because with teshuva, a person can change their past into good. Oh, that's amazing. Imagine. A person can take all the bad things they did in the past. That's why Baal Teshuva is greater than Tzadik Gamur. How come? They can change all their bad deeds into mitzvot. And they can change it to best mitzvot. Why? Because their bad deeds were done with gusto. When people do mitzvot, they don't do mitzvot with gusto. They come to shul, bam, bam. You know, a lot of people don't come to shul with gusto. But you've got to come to shul with gusto. You've got to do a mitzvah with gusto. You've got to do a mitzvah with pleasure. You've got to do a mitzvah looking forward to it. And people line up outside. You know, when the Mashiach comes, there's going to be a line outside. There nearly was this morning, by the way. It's very nice. There was a line outside. There'll be a line outside waiting to come in. All the synagogues will be packed. All the bet midrash. You go to Israel, the Bate Midrash are packed. There's hardly a place to stay. You know, when I was a kid, I went to Mir Yeshiva. Mir Yeshiva in those days only had one building. And that building was clogged. You couldn't even sit. There's no place to sit. You had to wait. People sitting on the steps. People sitting on the... It's packed. You don't see people learning Torah. It was packed. It was like a... Apparently you have to wait like 2-3 years to get a seat in the Bet Midrash. You know. And then eventually... forget about sleeping in the building. No, the dorms are packed. There's no room. You have to rent an apartment. And that was in those days. Now they have 6 or 7 buildings. I can't keep track. And they're all packed. So think about it. Just think about it. I mean, there's no room. People learning Torah, there's just no room to get. You have to get in. You have to be able to get in. So now's the time to do mitzvot, because when Mashiach comes, there'll be a lineup. Non-Jews, not just Jews, Jews, non-Jews. And the Beit HaMikdash will be full of non-Jews. The whole world will be coming. The whole world will come and say, hey, what do we do? How can we become Jewish? How do we get closer to God? How do we do it? And the answer is, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Why is it going to be too late? Because everyone's going to want it. Everyone's going to want it. Now's the time to make the money. Now's the time to make the reward. Why? Because not everyone's doing it. Now's the time. So, you can't always be happy. You can always be happy, so you try. That's what the test is. The test is to try. If you want to be happy, try. How does a person become happy? So we are giving techniques of trying to be happy. Don't wallow in the past. Make the past good. How do you make the past good? A person says, listen, Hashem, I want to serve you. I'm happy serving you. I want to be the best. And the past, I regret. I regret my past. Please make it into mitzvot. Make my past into good things. I'm doing teshuva. And it's teshuva out of love, not teshuva out of fear. And therefore, you can make my past into good things. And that's what Hashem will do. He'll make our past deeds into mitzvot. Amazing. So we can make our past into best things, but don't labor on it, don't wallow in it, and just waste the present, and then waste the future. So a person can make positive choices this very second. A person can never know what the future seconds of your life will be like, but as your brain masters the ability to make the most of the present seconds, then you'll be calm about the future. We don't know what the future has. We have no idea. No one knows what the future has. And when the future will become the present, the brain will make the best use of those seconds. So we have to learn to make the best use of the seconds we have now. So every second that passes by, a person says, you know what? I'm counting my blessings. I'm counting the things Hashem gave me, or the good things. Listen, thank God, we're living in a time of peace. Relatively. I mean, in our little bubble over here. Living in a time, we're lucky. We're very lucky. We're very, very lucky. Jews never had peace. Jews never had rest in those days. We're very lucky. Pardon?
Seems like there's certain days...
100%! I agree with you. I mean, there's tests. We all have tests in life.
I mean, there are days when it just comes naturally to be happy.
Yes.
And there are other days that no matter how much I try to diffuse it and to...
You're right, 100%.
Change,
you're right, 100%. That's human beings. That's human beings.
On the other hand, I
channel, as you told us one day, it just doesn't work.
Yes. So we have to try and find the techniques and have the emunah. That things will get better. Gamzula tova, koma David Rahman al Tavavi, whatever God does will be for the best.
On the other hand, I tell people who can't quite get out of it right away, you have 10 minutes a day to sit on the pity pot and feel sorry for yourself.
Okay.
10 minutes only. Use it or lose it.
Beautiful. At least limit it. 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Great idea. Limit it. Says, you know what, I'm feeling down. Okay, I'll feel down for 5 minutes. That's it. I don't have time. Listen, we're American. We're living in North America. We're living in Northeast. We're in the worst pair. We have no time for anything. We don't have time to... You know, the famous story, it says the rabbi and his wife. So the rabbi's wife is always worried about the future. What you're going to do? How they're going to get their kids married? No money. And da-da-da-da-da. She looks at her husband. He's always happy. He says, what's going on with you? Why don't you worry? He said, listen, he says, don't you know I think and talk very fast? He said, yeah. He said, well, the worrying you do in a whole day, it takes me 5 minutes. My mind works very fast. So I'm worrying in 5 minutes. So we're all pressured. Listen, we have no time to do. So a person should tell the Yetzirah, I have no time to worry right now. I'm busy right now. I'm busy. Let me be. I have no time. You have no time. There's no time to worry. No time to be sad. Life is too short to be sad. Life is too short. So a person feels overwhelmed. What do you do? Think about the second right now. Live each day at a time. That's what most people do. Live a day at a time. People have troubles. You ask them, how do they manage? You ask them, just break it into small chunks. I can't take the whole thing. Small chunks. Now I'll get over this one. I'll get over the next one. I'll get over this hurdle and this hurdle and this hurdle. Deal with 2 seconds at once.
I think also if you think that the expression "kinzain erger," I don't know if you understand Yiddish, means it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, when things don't look so good.
Listen, if you're not happy, just go to the hospital and see. Go around the hospital and see what's going on over there. You'll say, boy, Baruch Hashem, thank God a million times. Thank God. Listen, there's some places you don't want to be. I had to go and visit jails. Boy, just feeling that door clank behind you. Even if you're not just going in for a visit someone, it's like it's a scary thought. Yeah. It's a scary thought, just hearing that. So come on, thank God we're free. We can walk around, we can just walk anytime. You can just walk out anytime you want. You can walk out of me. It's amazing, we're free. We're free.
Again, sometimes even that backfires. There are days when, I can do that and count my blessings 20 times.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
There are other times when I can see people who are much worse off than me, and instead of
you feel sad for them.
Count my blessings and make me happy. It makes me feel guilty that.
Okay.
You have it so good.
That gives you Baruch Hashem.
Well, that's the test, Rachel. That's the test. That's the homework. That's the daily homework.
On one side of the paper, you write your blessings. On the other side of the paper, you write the opposite. And then you strive to get them together.
Here is the master.
Yeah.
Here is the master. Very She's good. Teaching us, and it's fantastic. How can you be happy? You have to be happy. You have to learn how to be happy. So whatever you can find, whatever technique you can find, whatever thing you can do to make yourself happy, reframe. We talked about reframing. That was last week. You can reframe things in a way that enable you to enjoy more and suffer less. So we can choose in our brain, we can choose the choices that are there in front of us. Should I make myself miserable or should I make myself happy? It's a free choice. We have to choose the path of joy, path of light, not the path of darkness and depression. We have to choose it as much as we can. When your brain allows itself to be totally in the present moment, it is a fascinating experience.
You read a little slower.
Yes.
When you read, so
yes, I know. I was thinking. So I worry fast as well. Okay. So we have to try and live in the present.
And when concentrate on what you have and when what you don't have.
And when we live in the present, we'll enjoy life much more. So a person who is, say, having a good meal, he's thinking about tomorrow. It's not thinking about his meal. Like Shabbat. A person can spend Shabbat thinking. We're not allowed to. Think about it. It's very hard to control the thoughts. The truth is, there's no halakha that says you're not allowed to think on Shabbat. You can think as much as you want. You can think, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Just as long as you don't say it.
Right.
You're not allowed to say, I'm going to do something which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbat. But I can think as whatever I want. But the highest level is not to think it. Why? Because then you're not going to savor Shabbat. You're going to miss Shabbat. So a person's in Shabbat, but he's thinking about tomorrow. So his mind is not in Shabbat. Think about it. Right? So a person now is having, say, a beautiful concert. But his mind is focused on the daily grind of tomorrow. What am I going to do tomorrow? So he's not enjoying the... So the not living in the present stops us from enjoying the present. Even when the present is enjoyable, okay, if you're sitting in the dentist's chair, don't think about the present. That's the advantage of having the imagination. You know, the imagination is great because you can live, you can be anywhere around the world at the same second. It's amazing. The imagination gives us the power to be anywhere, anytime. And that's why Hashem gave us this ability, taking a video in your mind. So a person says, you know what, today I had a very rough day. So I'm living in my mind in my son's wedding 20 years ago. Think about dancing and sitting on the chuppah. There's no feeling like that. There's no better feeling for a parent than seeing your child get married. So you can live that feeling over and over again. So we can choose. We make the choice to live in the present, the past, or even the future. Most people are living in the future, but they're worrying about the future. They're not living in the future. That's not life. That's not life. So how do we... So by living in the present, we can savor the present. Feel the present. Feel the feeling of being alive. Most people don't even know that they're alive. They don't feel being alive. Feel being alive, feel being vital. Feel being, you know, I can do it. I'm alive. God gave me this gift of being alive, being able to move, being able to work, being able to cope. So we can choose words and actions to enhance our lives. So if the words come out positive, then it enhances a person's life. Negative words detract from a person's life. And we make those choices. We can choose to say good things about people, or we can choose to say bad things about people. Sometimes it's better not to talk about people at all, because the people we talk to are going to say bad things about it. And so it hurts me. I want to say something complimentary about someone, and then someone else will pipe up something bad about them. I don't want to say something bad about them. I want to say something good about them. So don't talk about them, because people are going to be negative. So it's very important. That's what a good eye is. The difference between a bad eye and a good eye. What's a bad eye and a good eye? The good eye is a person who can only see good things. A good eye, a person can only see good things about people. What a nice person. What a nice thing. And the guy says, what are you talking about? That's not the same person I know. So there's a bad eye and a good eye. The good eye is the eye of generosity. The eye of judging people well. That's a very important perspective in life. And that gives a person joy. A person who's a positive person will be living a positive life. So we have to try and make ourselves positive people. How do I make myself a positive person? So I can think bad or I can think good. Try and think the good. I can say good or I can say bad. Try and say good. I can do good or I can do bad. Try and do good. We all try and do good. But the perspectives may be bad. Right? Even when giving stuck up, it's very hard to be happy. It's very hard to say, you know, I want to give. I'm giving because I want to, I really want to, I'll do Hashem. Okay, most people give because they're doing Hashem's mitzvah, because that already is a very high level. I'm giving because Hashem says to give. Would I give if Hashem would not say to give? I don't think so. It's my hard-earned money. Why would I want to give it away? It's very hard to give it away. Unless you see someone and your heart is broken, then you'll give. But if you're not, you don't see that. You get letters in the mail. You don't see the person in front of you. So, but a person gives a joy. Now a person does a mitzvah and says, you know what, I'm going to do this mitzvah anyway. Let me do it now with joy. That's a high-level mitzvah. That's a much, much greater mitzvah. That's a tremendous mitzvah. That's a tremendous mitzvah. So, in the present, you can choose words and actions that will enhance your life. In the present, you can focus on joyous thoughts. In the present, you can reframe things in ways that enable you to enjoy more or suffer less, and suffer less. So every second that we choose wise words, every second that we choose wise actions, every second we choose wise thoughts, we get expertise in this. So the more we do it, the more we practice we get, right? You with me? The more practice we get, the better we'll be at it. The more practice we get of saying things, good things, of thinking in our mind good thoughts, of doing good things, we get practice. That's what Rambam says. You do something three times, you become a habit. It becomes a habit without even thinking. So a person says, you know what, I have a choice. I can judge that person badly or favorably. We judge them favorably. Why do I have to judge them badly if I don't need to deal with them? If you have nothing to do with someone, so why do you have to think bad thoughts about them? Don't think bad thoughts about them. Don't even think about them at all. Why do you need to think about someone and have bad thoughts about them? So it's important to be positive. Be positive and focus on the present. And your relationships with other people also. It's very hard today because we are surrounded by distractions. To even focus on one's children. Right? My daughter comes to me, Daddy. Yes, dear. Look at me, Daddy. She's smart. She's smart. When Daddy looks at you, then you know you have his attention. Daddy's not looking at you, they have attention. He's half there and half not there. It's hard to be there today, completely. It's hard to be there. You see it today. Giving classes, people, their minds are all over the place. People's minds go all over the place. It's very, very hard to focus today. My son was telling me, in colleges today, they're taking drugs to stay focused. Drugs for ADD. It's a big black market. There's a big, very big black market. He says he saw it at work. People are taking drugs to just stay focused. And in colleges today, it's very competitive and people take drugs. So either they're taking drugs and they are not focused, they have to take drugs to be focused now. It's like drugs, either way they're taking drugs. So there's a big black market for all these drugs that focus a person's minds, for ADD. Black market, big black market. Amazing. So we want to focus, we have to learn to focus. But a person can, how do we focus? And the answer is by thinking, living in the present. If you live in the present, you're focused. If your mind is thinking about the past, you're not focused. If you're thinking about the future, you're not focused. By living in the present, we have to live in the present and think about every second now. What am I doing now? What is my thoughts now? My thoughts positive now? Is my speech positive now? Is my actions positive now? And the relationships with other people are based if both of you are in the present. If you're living in the present, then you're both focused on each other. If you're not living in the present, not focused on each other. Amazing. Amazing. Thinking about the past. He's not focused on the present. How can I focus on my conversation with you when I'm thinking about the past? How can I focus on my love for you, my spouse, whatever, if I'm not focused on the past? That's the dangers of marrying someone with a previous relationship. Because maybe they're thinking about someone else when they're having, you know, they're with you. Yeah. So it's the person living in the past. And you're living with them. So to be totally in the present moment means you can look at whatever you see without judgment. You just see, and then you see even deeper. Suddenly what is foreground, what is background can keep changing. It's like an artist or a photographer. What's in the foreground, what's in the background? So the background is the past. As opposed to focusing on the past, they're looking at the background, they're looking at the foreground, looking at what's in front of them right now. Right? If you're looking at the past, you're not focusing on the present. So you look at the background, not the foreground. And vice versa, you look at the future, looking at something in front of the foreground. So you might see in a way that you never saw things before. By focusing in the present, a person will see in a way they never saw things before. And that brings out one's creativity. That brings out a feeling of oneness with the scene and ultimately with the entire universe. That's an amazing concept. We're not even focusing on the universe around us. People are so caught up in their thoughts, right? They don't even think about what's going around them, about the day, the scenery, the trees, the grass. You know, you can just walk by without even thinking because the person's so engrossed in their thoughts. Amazing. So I saw a beautiful idea. This is a very important Musar idea. I think it's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says. He says a person's thoughts, that's called a private domain. Your thoughts are your private domain. Your face, your countenance is a public domain. It's a very interesting idea. In other words, how you show, what kind of feelings you're showing in your face, that's what people see you. That's a public domain. So your face has got to be attuned to the public. It's very hard, right? Especially people in the public eye. Your face is always going to be smiling. It's going to be happy. Why? Because people look at you. So your face is serious and frowning and sad and miserable. Then people are going to say, that's what the person's feeling. Maybe he's not feeling. That's his face. So therefore, that's all they can see, and that's how they judge people. So your face is the public domain. It's like the sign on the store, right? Imagine your face is a sign on the store. What kind of goods do you have in your store? Amazing. It's an amazing concept. What a brilliant concept. It's so obvious. They're staring us in the face, literally. So we have to put that front. That's your store. That's your what are you offering? What do you offer people? The person has a smile on their face, offering joy. That's what people like. People run. People go to that person. How does a person build up their ability to focus on the present? So he gives a little tip. And the tip is, keep repeating. Let's all say it together. Now I am aware.
Now I am aware.
Okay, we're going to say it a few times, not just once.
Now I am aware.
Good, very good. We're all aware. We're all aware. Now I'm aware. So every time you start seeing things, I say, now I'm aware. Wow. This wall, I've never looked at it before. Oh, it's cream. Now I'm aware of it. The picture over there. Wow, there's a clock over there. Now I'm aware. We never notice things. It's amazing. Sometimes you drive on the highway, and you never really notice things around you because I'm focused just on getting to the destination. That's it. So you don't notice things around you. Someone else in the car might say, hey, do you notice that? No, I never noticed that before. And no, I even passed that. I pass it every day, but I never noticed it. So being aware is living in the present. We have to try and live in the present and not focus on the past, because then we're not living in the present. We're wasting today's present. We're waiting the present. The present time is being wasted by thinking of the past.
Planning
for the future is good, but worrying about the future is not good because it's not positive. Planning, if you can plan, you know, we're limited to how much we can plan. You can plan and plan and hope and pray, but only God knows if the plan's going to come out. Right? Adam roeh be'einayim, Hashem roeh be'levav. God, we see with our eyes, God sees the heart. We can only see the externals. We don't know what's going on, really. We just see and we think and we hope. And, right, man plans and God laughs. Right? Man plans and God laughs. We plan. You can plan as much as you want. Hashem says, yeah, you want to plan? Sometimes it's better not to plan. Plans don't come out. It's tragic. So, yes, we got to do what we can do. Humanly possible, what's called, we can do whatever's humanly possible. We do a hishtadlut. We try our best. And the rest is God's hands.
So what you're saying basically is the present is what counts.
Present is what counts. You can
forget about
past, do teshuva and move on. Do teshuva and move on. That's what teshuva is for. Teshuva and move on. But don't just keep harping and harping and harping.
And learn from it.
And learn from it. Excellent. That's why you're in the front row. You learn from the past. We have to learn from the past.
Choice.
That's right. We have to learn from the past. We have to learn from the past. So the past has a mission as well. The mission of the past is to learn from it. Very important. Mm-hmm. So a person made a mistake, so next time they'll learn. Hopefully learn from the mistake. And this way a person will be smarter the next time.
I guess you do a different mistake next time.
We got to be positive. Okay.
That's a positive.
So, chapter 29. Can you find lost time? I once met a person. This is a story, this is Rabbi Pliskin saying, not me. I met a person who was very agitated. I said, why are you so agitated? He said, I feel bad because I lost so much time. I spent so much time, wasted so much time. I lost time. I feel so bad about it. He says, listen, he said, if you feel bad about that, you're going to lose more time.
Right, worrying about it, right?
It's the more time you spend on worrying about lost time, the more time you lose in the present. So he said, listen, good answer. He said, nice Jewish answer. But if I don't worry about it, that means I don't really appreciate my time. No, it's the opposite. Rabbi Pliskin says, it's the opposite. The more you spend worrying about the lost time, the more time you're losing in the present. By not being upset of your lost time, you're showing you really care about your time. Because I'm not wasting my time thinking about lost time, which I'm wasting more time thinking about lost time. Some people are just caught in that. They waste so much time, they just can't get back on track. Because they're worried about the lost. They're thinking about the past. They can't move on with their lives. Move on with your life. Close the book. Turn the page. Move on. Yeah, I'll never forget. I was giving a talk once. I can't remember what. It was a Shabbat. And this lady walked in. I never saw her before. And I was talking about how we can move on with our lives. And we can change. And we can close the page on the past. And she said, Rabbi, you must have known me. And this talk was just for me. And I did her second wedding. Her husband just passed away. I did her second wedding. So she moved on with her life, and she took the lesson, and she moved on. Listen, she was mourning for her husband, died, he had a sickness, and she moved on, and she's very happy now. She's very, very happy. So the more we harp, and the more we harp, and the more we harp, we can't bring it back. You can never bring back the past. We can never bring back what a person had. What he can do is just move on and make it again. And that's what we have to do. That's what Jews did. Look, how the survivors of the Holocaust, how do they get back with their lives? And the answer is they had to close the page. Not forget entirely. No one can forget. No one can forget entirely. But move on and move on. Anyway, so the more we harp on the past, the more we spend worrying about the lost time, the more time we spend losing in the present. So the answer, this is another Jewish answer. Because of what you just said, it means I should now be upset and feel guilty about the time I lost while being upset about the time I already lost. That's a Jewish answer. So every time I feel upset about the time I lost, now I'm upset about that time that I spent feeling bad about the time. But that just means you're losing more time. Are you telling me that each time I lose more time worrying about the time I already lost, I should keep adding those guilty feelings to the feelings I already feel?
But we do so well at feeling guilty.
Yeah. It's good. Guilt is good. But the trip is the important part. How to change. If one just wallows in guilt, that's bad. There's no mitzvah to wallow in guilt. The mitzvah is to move on and change and be better. That's what a person has to do. So the guilt is just the vidui and then the move on. That's it. How long does it take to say vidui? Don't take long. No, I pleaded. Stop being upset about your lost time. The time you spend on this keeps adding to the amount of time you lose. I see that you are right, and this makes me feel worse. Do you feel good or bad when you keep up this pattern? I feel awful. And how would you like to feel? I would like to feel happy, like everyone else would. Since the more time you upset about lost time means the more time you experience distress and unhappiness, it makes sense to stop this pattern and change it now. But why should I change it? It's right to feel bad about lost time. Since lost time is lost forever, can never be regained. Since the pattern wasn't working, I decided to leave the form of dialogue. In its place, I said something that he found funny. He smiled and laughed.
Do you enjoy laughing?
Yeah, of course. Everyone loves. What else have you found funny? As he began answering this question, his face glowed and he kept laughing. After this, for 10 minutes, I said to him, do you realize you have laughed for the last 10 minutes? If you keep replaying this and keep on laughing each time, you'll be able to create so much humor and laughter in your brain that your endorphins levels can rise whenever you wish it to. Okay, so that's, we have to just change track sometimes. We have to flip the channel. The person's going to realize their mind is like a It's better than the best television set. It's better than the best satellite dish. It has more channels in the brain than there are anywhere else. A person can flip the channels. And it's a very big technique. When a person's thinking in a certain direction, to flip the channel. And that's how you see children, right? Children are fighting. All of a sudden, you ask them a question out of nowhere, and you sidetrack them, and they forget about what they were doing before, and they're totally different people. Totally different people. And we can do that to ourselves. It's a gift. We have to learn how to maintain that. And that's exactly how we sidetrack this person completely. So what I saw was his brain, like everyone else's, really has a choice. We can stop with the obsessive loops if we want to. We have to stop. We have to get out the rut. We have to get out those obsessive, wasteful loops, negative loops, wasting more and more time. And we can make enjoyable loops in our brain. Think of positive thoughts. Enjoyable loops in our brain. It's interesting because thoughts are so powerful. We create with our thoughts. It's so such a powerful thing. It's all in the mind. We're creating with our thoughts. So a person has positive thoughts. Less we worry about things, the better. The truth is, less we worry about it, because by worrying, we're creating those negative things. So we have to think about positive things. And this way, thinking ability will be enhanced, and we can make the best use of our time in the present. But by focusing on the negatives, we're not going to make the best use of the present. So it's much easier to make distressful loops. You don't have to exert yourself to be distressed. It's interesting. You have to exert yourself the opposite. Natural tendency is to be depressed. Why? Because our bodies are made from earth, made from matter. It pulls us down. Some people naturally are very happy. That's a gift. That's a real gift. But naturally, a person is made of earth. We're chomer. Chomer is from the word chomer, it's from chemar, which is materialism. We're materialistic. Our bodies are materialistic. So which pattern will you choose? We have to choose the pattern, a positive pattern, not wasting our time, not thinking about distressing thoughts, not living in guilt, not wallowing in the guilt, not choosing to suffer. Choose joyous and enjoyable patterns for your brain, and your brain will repay you in kind and supply you with an unending series of enjoyable thoughts. So that's a very important question we have to ask ourselves all the time. What is the best use of my time right now? What can I do with my time right now? And that's the question we have to be asking ourselves all the time. What is the best use I can make of my time right now? And all of a sudden we'll find we have more time than we thought we had. What is the best use I can make of my time? I know people who spend their time volunteering for different things. And if they're not doing this, they're volunteering for this. And if it's amazing how much they can do, how much they can accomplish. It's amazing what a person can accomplish if they really want to accomplish. And if they want to spend their time wisely and helping other people, amazing what they can do. So
the truth is that certain people are positive people.
100%.
Some people are negative.
You're right, but you know what?
And no matter what happens, they see the bad.
No, but the truth is we all have free choice, and that's what we have to work on.
You know, one person you fall down, and Baruch Hashem, you didn't do big damage. They'll say, Baruch Hashem. Another person says, oh my God.
Yes, of course. Of course.
No one happens to me.
So that's a free will decision. That's a free will decision. What we're talking about, exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about free will decisions.
So
that's what we have to work on. No, but
I think it's a free will.
It's nature. No. And